Hey folks, I'm Greg Lotko, and we're here for the next episode of The Main Scoop. I'm joined by my esteemed colleague and co-host, Daniel Newman. We always have lively, vibrant conversations. How are you doing today, Daniel?
Yeah, it's good to be back, Greg. We've made it to 26 episodes, so it's taken us a minute, but this has been a lot of fun. The journey's been continuous, and yeah, we do have a bit of a banter, but I think over time, if I'm being candid, it's improved. I think we found that right mix. We only pick a little bit. You look great today, Greg, but all things considered, I'm doing really well. Excited to be on with you this morning. Excited for the conversation we're going to have.
Today, we're here to talk about hybrid IT strategies, right? From data security to AI to transactional and data and beyond. I mean, look, I think it's a hybrid world. I know it's a hybrid world. There's all these different technologies out there, and I've said it before, I don't believe any one in isolation is the right answer for anything. And I think many of the best solutions out there incorporate multiple technologies. They use them for their strengths, they tie them into something else, and then the whole workload goes across the plane. Are we aligned with that, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I are generally aligned on these things. Of course, we find those little bits of contention. I think that's always fun. I mean, hybrid IT and the way it's described is fluid. We've seen an era where, the recognition of hybrid cloud came and then multi-cloud came. And of course, we've seen this whole everybody's going to move to technology A or B. And then you kind of see the graduated or gradual progress that we have with these things. I remember what it's been almost 20 years, almost like 2 decades of public cloud now. And the public
Which is
cloud, of course,
astounding, right?
has
Because
been.
everybody's still talking about it as, oh my God, this is new and it's the leading edge. And I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, it's been a
it's
wild ride,
maturing.
but yeah, but we're still on the road. And of course, your business and the whole idea behind the main scoop is that there's this role to play for the mainframe. And I mean, I think in the hybrid IT era, we're seeing that different technology architectures, different parts of the stack, different, security protocols and different hardware implementations have remained important over many, many years. And that as hybrid IT really comes to fruition, it's all about getting that data in order, getting all those different infrastructure deployments working together. And it has moved fast, but it hasn't moved all in one direction, which is why we've landed on this kind of hybrid notion.
Right. And 20 years ago, the discussion was that the cloud was the answer to everything. And then when hybrid came into the conversation, at first, everybody said that meant, different cloud technologies or different providers. And then they started using multi-cloud. But when you and I talk about hybrid, we talk about hybrid IT and technologies across platforms and across infrastructure. But let's bring somebody in from part of the overall hybrid IT world. So with us today is our guest, Barry Wardell. He's head and global GTM for sales and strategy at Microsoft. So Barry, welcome to the show. Can you tell us about kind of your roles and responsibilities at Microsoft, along with, what you think are some of your key focus points around hybrid IT?
Sure. First, Greg, Daniel, thank you for having me on here today. It's nice to spend this time with you. I've been looking forward to it. Appreciate the intro. As you said, I'm the global go-to-market leader at Microsoft for mainframe, mid-range, and Linux. It's a privileged position, I say, in the sense that I get to receive a ton of signals across the globe from all of our different business segments, and more importantly, all of our different industries. And those signals, as you know, at that scale are invaluable, right? And what that does is it allow me and the people around me to learn and to shape our strategy to support what we're hearing from the field. So if we have particular blockers or there's a thematic change in customer outcome expectations, et cetera, we're shifting to support that. And that is, again, a privileged position. On the topic of mainframe and the topic of hybrid, as you and Daniel opened with, I like to say mainframe and cloud. It's the same thing as hybrid. But I think it's a simple way to put it, and it resonates with many of our customers. I'll share with you just my brief view of the history of the hyperscalers with respect to mainframe.
Sure. I'm curious, right? I mean, especially to hear you say that when you talk about hybrid, to think about Microsoft and mainframe. I think for years, a lot of people, outside the know, outside the people who are running the largest enterprises in their IT, thought it was either or, not and, right? And it's even to the conversations that we were getting about getting into about data, it was about maybe moving it one place or the other. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts as you weave that in there about, what do you think about the role of data as it either moves across or is accessed between platforms?
One thing I want to just kind of quickly touch on in the whole cloud space. I think that what we've learned with respect to mainframe is that when the hyperscalers really started, 10, 15 years ago, and we got underway, and there was a massive amount of enthusiasm, and we would have some really interesting and frankly naive conversations around mainframe, right? And the cloud scalers, and I'm guilty of this as well, would come in, hey, we're gonna move all your workloads in the cloud, easy peasy, everything's gonna be great. And we've learned so much since then and up till now and every day that boy, did we lose credibility in those early conversations, and have we learned a lot and have shifted that into a mainframe and cloud conversation. And that's really important. The data front is probably one of the biggest values that we can get from or with the mainframe, right? You have the systems of record, you have the most important, sensitive, most valuable data in the world that is on and being transacted on these mainframes. And on the other hand, you have all of the capabilities of the cloud that we know, right? Like obviously all of the data integrations, data security, data privacy, and the ability to then open up that data into all of the AI. And we're going through this massive Gen AI moment. So to not include the mainframe and the value of the data on the mainframe would be frankly silly. We would be missing a massive opportunity. So again, we believe really, really hard in that hybrid nature. It does start with the data and integrating with and taking advantage of that data to provide those insights using the cloud AI platforms. That's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. I think over the past 4 or 5 years, there was a bit of a sentiment shift among the largest public cloud providers, where there was a bit of the, like you said or suggested, Barry, that just put everything in the public cloud. And I think you started to see more of this modernization effort, different specialty business units, people like yourself being put into these roles to make sure that these things work together very fluidly. And I think we've seen better results because of it. Another area, Barry, that I think has been in focus too has been, of course, security. I mean, look, there's been events, every day. I mean, if you read deep enough into the Wall Street Journal, you'll find an event that took place, ransomware attacks. You see, different denial of service attacks. This is complicated, but it's also been one of the specialties of mainframe for a long time, is kind of keeping everything, keeping that vault, keeping it locked up, keeping transactions moving, keeping the world moving. I mean, what are you seeing in terms of the challenges for enterprises to kind of find that balance of that sort of fluid, fast, agile cloud with the, important, secure scale, that exists inside the mainframe?
To reiterate, the security is top of mind. It is in everyone's job description. It's hypercritical. And we have to, of course, appreciate the incredible security technology, product, know-how, process that envelops the mainframe, right? That's a given. And that's on one side. And then on the other side, you have the cloud scale, you have the cloud product, right? And the whole security envelope that is there to support the cloud. And each in their own right are very powerful, very effective, very challenged, and being very much invested in, right? Very, very important. But you essentially have two different, if you will, groups. The important part, and frankly, what becomes the challenge or the caution, is when they intersect. So when we start opening up the mainframe, it's data, it's APIs, et cetera. That's the place where we have to pay particularly close attention and make sure that we're not looking at this from a mainframe security perspective, a cloud security perspective, but a landscape perspective that's protecting and supporting that integration. Think about the API calls and think about all of the different data integration points. That's where we need to bring our focus. So it's the power of two that supports that intersection point, and that's where we have to be.
I totally agree. It drives me nuts when people are thinking they're accessing data on the mainframe and they go, "Hey, we're going to worry about the mainframe securing that." When even if you're only going in and getting bits or elements of the data, you're transporting it back and forth. So you need to think about not necessarily just the platform it originated on or even the path. You need to think about the sensitivity of the data and make sure that you're protecting it all across its journey, wherever it's going to be manifested. So hear, hear, totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's a substantial challenge, and I think security is always going to be cat and mouse. And I think that, part of the industry is going to be powered by the need for this ongoing security. And of course, it's always going to be up to kind of companies to figure out that workload distribution, what the best it, but in the end, Greg, I mean, you and I have had this conversation now, what, 26 times in some different way on this particular show, that there is a really important role for kind of that secure transaction data. And I'm glad to see that, companies like Microsoft have really bought into that partnership because, I'm someone too that always wants to be on the leading edge, Barry. And we're going to talk about AI here in a second. I mean, look, I want to go fast. I want to go far. I want to do it, at breakneck pace. I wrote the book on fail forward, at least one of them. And the point is, we do need to keep things going. I always tell my teams, Barry, it's all about doing two things at once. You got to be able to make the change you need to make and keep things stable in the background. And that's a lot of what the mainframe's role has been. But AI is going to change it again. AI
I don't
is
wait,
going.
what, before we go into AI, I
Yeah.
don't want anybody to miss that point about the cat and mouse. I immediately got the vision of Tom and Jerry, right? And for, I know I'm dating myself, but people who can go out there and Google and
My 8-year-old loves
do a
Looney
search.
Tunes. I
But
mean, all the
but
stuff.
the thing was, Tom and Jerry, I mean, they never caught each other and they never did each other in. It was always, oh my God, the next attack, the attack surface area. There was always that next cartoon or that next interaction or that next venue. And really across platforms, that's how we have to be thinking about this. It's not secure and done or wait for a year from now and then bundle up the changes and everything. It is an ongoing chase, not a reaction, but an offset and a preparation and an anticipation. So it is ongoing. But go ahead. Let's get into
No,
AI.
I
I
mean,
know it's
look,
your favorite topic.
it's not my favorite. It's just the only thing that anybody's talking about anymore. So no, it is
Not
pretty awesome
us. We've
what's going
talked
on. I
about
mean,
it
look,
before.
I had the chance. I'm back in New York today, but I was in New York several months ago, Barry, when you guys launched some of your new Copilot Plus features. I got to sit down with Satya and talk about it, and the vision of what Microsoft has done. Its early ambition, its partnership with OpenAI. Now it's building a lot of things on its own. It's implementing AI deeply into every part of its portfolio, software, and of course, in the developer realm inside of GitHub. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but just kind of more broadly on the AI front, kind of the interaction between Microsoft, the mainframe, and AI. What are you seeing?
Well, it's an exciting area, obviously. So on one hand, you have this massive opportunity to expose the mainframe data and take advantage of all of the AI process. And I think that, that's fairly well established in terms of how we do that and the value that it brings, right? And we should all be pursuing that. Let me just take a second to say that one in the years that I've been in the mainframe field, I have not seen so much interest and so many opportunities from customers and from partners as a result of the Gen AI motion within the realm of mainframe, right? And so there's a certain population that sees Gen AI as the silver bullet to solve any modernization or transformational challenges with mainframe, which is interesting because it's not a silver bullet. It's an incredible augmentation in this very, very complex landscape. But very specifically inside of mainframe, Gen AI is there to augment, and we're seeing it go from exploration to commercialization, and it's bringing value, it's lowering costs, it's lowering risk. But it's not necessarily solving the entirety of the mainframe landscape complexity. When you think about the integrations and the tooling and secure all of those sort of things. So while there's again an incredible opportunity and a growing opportunity to bring AI into the mainframe as a platform, there's more to go there. It's the again the value that we're seeing today right now in the mainframe world is that data is making use of the data, right? And so there's different ways to look at Gen AI and Copilot around the mainframe. Right now, that data extraction and the ability to bring AI to that is incredibly powerful.
So we talked about AI there a little bit, and you started talking about copilots relative to it. So how do you see the role of the developer evolving across the hybrid IT nature? Is it, you know, I'm developing for the mainframe, I'm developing for the distributor or the cloud world, or how do you see that kind of
Is it
coming
developing
together
for
or
us?
not?
Yeah,
Is it
it's
developing
hybrid.
for us? You
Yeah.
know, like.
I to me, it's part of the hybrid conversation. And we the more that we offer a common user experience for legacy developers and for that, you know, developers in a more modern code base, right? The more that we can provide that common experience, the better off we are, right? And obviously we have the tools and the technology to do that, right? We can bring those tools to support that legacy. And again, I'm using air quotes when I say legacy and the more modern programmers. But it's really important by providing that common tool set, not only are we supporting, say, the legacy programmers and the more modern programmers, but we're also enabling, if you will, that bridge between the two. So if you think about all of the organizations that are investing and incentivizing and investing in people to learn COBOL, well, if you have that common tool set that people are accustomed to using, then that makes that conversation easier. And conversely, if you have, let's say, a COBOL programmer who wants to reskill into a different, more modern language, then they can do so much more easily through a common tool set, right? And so by bringing these integrations together, we are effectively growing the hearts and mind of the developer community. And if we don't do that, then we lose innovation, right? So again, I view the if you will, the legacy and that more modern developer who's thinking DevSecOps and pipelines, et cetera, bring that together. It's going to drive innovation and it's going to win the hearts and minds of the developers.
And I look at what we're doing, and it's funny, you used all the words in there. So I'm like the worst at naming products or capabilities, but I feel like, wow, we might have gotten this one right. So providing that common experience, Endeavor is the largest source code repository on mainframe, and we now have for a number of years have Bridge for Git to Endeavor. So
It's incredibly popular,
yeah.
incredibly popular, and the whole ecosystem that supports Endeavor Bridge for Git is incredible. And just at a very for a tactical example, if you're using Endeavor Bridge for Git and you're using VS Code, you're using Zoe plugins, you're using various other plugins that are welcomed and have been used for decades by some developers. You know, that is the commonality of the developer ecosystem that we're trying to continue to support and evolve. That, again, is the hearts and minds.
And Barry, if I'm hearing you right, when we talked about AI kind of at the top here a few minutes back, you know, you sort of alluded to augment versus, you know, replace or, and I think that's really an important call out here. And what you guys are both sort of saying between the tools that you're building is that you're building an ecosystem where developers can thrive. They can move faster. They can take advantage of copilots. They can take advantage of code repositories. But it also still requires the unique skill. I know both of your companies invest a lot in upskilling and training and creating, you know, capable and competent people. And it sounds like you found that sort of right mix where copilots can certainly accelerate. It can certainly add some layers of automation. Of course, we've got generative code, but the whole everything's going to be coded and generative, and you're never going to need to learn. I think what I'm hearing here, and I think while none of us can predict 20 years out, over the next several years, skill meets tools is going to be, you know, exponential capability and accelerated innovation, but it still requires those skills.
And we definitely see that all around us. I mean, Barry, I don't know about you, but I know Daniel and I follow a bunch of auto racing and we're into cars, and there's been technologies that have put in been put in cars that I don't know that they make us a better driver, but they make us more effective on the street and the track, whether it be faster around a track or safer on the street. But the reality is, you put a professional or a skilled individual, two different individuals in the same car, and the person does make the difference, right? So all this technology is augmenting, it's not replacing. And the differentiation is still those developers that are interacting with those tools and making the most of it to deliver the capabilities for their companies.
And hence the name Co-Pilot, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Augmentation. Yep.
Yeah,
That's pretty.
it's another area that may that Microsoft nailed and a few others followed, but I think the market and the world has definitely caught on to that trend line. I mean, Barry, as we sort of wrap up, we have the data fabric of IT and hybrid architectures. You've certainly alluded to how much they've won out. AI is fast approaching and enabling developers. Sounds like it's top of mind for both, Broadcom, mainframe software, and Microsoft. Any other sort of thoughts about how you see this space evolving? Is it gonna keep moving quickly? It sounds to me like you buy in 100% that the mainframe has a long-term role to play.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, the degree of investment that is continuing in the mainframe landscape, particularly in the largest enterprises, is unquestionable, right? So, to go about our business and not to support that integration and not to support those customer outcomes would be short-sighted. So, they'll definitely be a continued investment in that, and clearly a massive investment that is going to continue in the AI space. And how that continues to augment and support this transfer, this journey that our mainframe customers are on is anyone's guess, but we know it's going to be a big part of it. And we know we have to be there to continue to learn and understand how that augmentation is going to help with all of our mainframe customers.
Well, Barry, I want to thank you so much for joining Greg and I and tying that together so nicely. We have a world where innovation is moving very, very quickly. It's exciting. We need to be able to tie it together, those technologies that have driven enterprises for the past 30, 40, 50 years. And of course, we want to continue to add that special secret new sauce that's creating all the enthusiasm and excitement in the marketplace. This conversation definitely intersected those two things. Barry, good luck with the continued growth of your business. Greg, always good to see you here on the Main Scoop. It's episode 26. We're not doing one every other week, but maybe we should because this is always fun. It's great to see you, my friend.
Good seeing you, Daniel. Awesome having you on, Barry. Go ahead, Daniel. Take us home with your final thoughts.
Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Join us as part of our Main Scoop community. We appreciate everybody that joins us for each and every episode. Can't wait to see you back here with us soon, but we got to go for now. See y'all later.